Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 55. 1 Samuel 17 verse 55.
1 Samuel 17 verse 55 reads this way. It says, "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people to open your word. Lord, we ask your blessings on your word, and we also pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is Going Forth Against the Philistine. Going forth to battle against the Philistine. And so tonight we're going to basically just take a look at the things that are noticed as we go forward into the spiritual battle. This is a physical battle, but there are truths here that are applicable spiritually in our own personal lives as we go forth to the battle. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, we are in the battle every day for the flesh to be crucified and for Christ to be honored and glorified in and through our lives. It's not just a annual event, it's a daily event that God wants to accomplish in our lives. And with that comes the blessings of God into the life of the believer, where our faith is substantiated. Again, I don't think anybody could tell the Israelites that crossed through the Red Sea that didn't happen. Do you believe that? Nobody could tell them that. That was just a figment of your imagination. Nobody could tell David that he really didn't slay the giant. He didn't really fall that day when he did fall. And nobody could tell him that God delivered him from the lion and the bear. And so these are the things that God wants to do in our lives so that we can enjoy our relationship with him. And so we need to be aware of that so we can seek God in difficult times. Tonight we're just going to take a look at a few thoughts. God's fulfillment of his promise. Faith brought to the fearful. And by the way, again, these are the things that take place and that God wants to take place in our lives as we go forward into the spiritual battle. Again, God's fulfillment of his promise, faith brought to the fearful, faith strengthened in the faithful, God's faithfulness in spite of man's unfaithfulness, and God's honor to his servant. Do you know that God wants to honor his servants? Did you know that? That's amazing. Our desire, I pray, is to honor God. And God says, if you want to honor me, I'm going to honor you. I don't understand that. Isn't that amazing? What a great God. What a loving God we serve. What a compassionate God we have. What a caring God. All of the hairs of our head are numbered. That's an amazing thought to me. Every hair that you have ever had has a number to it. God thinks that, isn't that amazing? And they say you lose like 160 hairs a day. That's kind of sad, isn't it? But anyway, you lose 160, but they're all numbered. And the thoughts of God toward you and I are innumerable. Isn't that amazing? The thoughts of God to you and I are a myriad of innumerable amount of numbers. He's thinking about us all the time. That is amazing to me. So let's look at these things here as we consider our text tonight. And that is God's fulfillment of his promise. Again, I am convinced that David had the assurance as soon as he saw the Philistine, Goliath by name, blaspheming the name of God, I believe God said, okay, I want you to go. Nobody else is going to go. You're going to go. And then he saw all of the army of Israel shaking in the trenches. And so he said, okay, I'm going to go. And he had this conversation with King Saul. And he went out and he stood against the giant. And notice what happens here. So David prevailed over the Philistine. I believe that's a promise that God gave to David. He said, I want you to go out and I will deliver him. How will you deliver him, God? Just like I did the lion and the bear. He is not going to be any different. In fact, listen, the difference between he and the lion and the bear is the lion and the bear was doing that which what they were created to do, but he is in defiance of what he was created to do, because all of us were created to have a relationship with God Almighty. Did you know that? You ever stop to think about that? We were created for fellowship with God. Isn't that amazing? And so he is walking contrary to my purpose, and I have judged him, and you are going to be the one that is going to deliver this giant out of the hands of Israel. In other words, you're going to go ahead and deliver them from this giant. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. God takes the weak things of this world so that there can be no mistake who the deliverer is, right? And David was honored to be used by the Lord. Stop and think about this, how much confidence we can have if we know that the battle is the Lord's. Do you think David was worried about aim? No. Do you think David was worried about having the power behind that sling? He slang it, no doubt. But God made sure that it had the right force and the right aim to knock that giant down and hit him in a very vulnerable place. Who would have ever thought of all the chances? He's got all this armor protecting him. And the way that the description is that he had armament on his shins. I mean, from the knee all the way down, everything was all covered up except for this one little spot. Who would have ever thought God would have zeroed that stone in to knock down or to hit that giant to where he was knocked down? And so with the sling and with the stone, God, through the hand of David, smote the Philistine and the Bible. And so this is like a little bit of a thought. He's telling us here what happened. David goes out against the battle. Remember, he smites him. The rock sinks in his forehead, and he falls down to his face upon the earth. And this is kind of like the Holy Spirit injecting a thought here. Notice what it says here. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. So it's saying here that he slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Now he's kind of recapping. He was slain, and the Holy Spirit is wanting you and I to know that there was no sword in the hand of David. Why did he want us to know that? Well, because God wanted us to know that he fulfills the promise. You go after him. I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it, and you don't even have the equipment to fulfill it. You tell that giant that his head's going to come off today. And David could have said, but wait a minute, Lord, how am I going to do that? But David had complete faith and trust that God would provide the sword, and David understood it once that giant was on the ground. Oh, I don't have to have all the details. All I have to do is go. When God told Abraham to go into the country that he didn't ask for a map. He said, go, didn't he? And Abraham says, guess what? It's an act of faith, and that word faith and trust are interchangeable. God, I'm placing my faith, my trust in you. David did the same thing. Now listen, we look at this and we say, yay for David. Amen. Go, David. But may I remind you that he is wanting you and I to go forth into the battle against the enemy as well. And he will make provision. We just go knowing that he holds us in his hands and we can be his witnesses. Does he not want us? Listen, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, Acts 1:8. And listen, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall be what? Witnesses. Hey, by the way, listen, it's not just a verbal witness. You'll be witnesses of his grace and mercy in our lives. His grace and his mercy to be the witness, to be the giant slayers. What's the weapon of the Lord? Gentleness, kind, the fruits of the Spirit are the weapons of God's people. And so do we have to have it all laid out? God's going to, listen, he has promised, it's his will that you and I be his witnesses to the people that we come in contact every day, beginning with our own family. Now, we can look to ourselves and say, well, my goodness, I'm not very patient. I can be self-centered at times. I could be, in fact, unkind at times. I can do all these things. And so I don't know how God's going to ever use... God's not asking us to evaluate that. God is wanting us to realize that our strength is where? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the truth? In him. How do we do that? Let's focus on being kind. Be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind. We'll forget about Jesus that way, and we will fail. Know this, ready? God is with us. God is with us. And why? For what purpose? That he might be honored and glorified. So I'm going to get up and walk out this day and the next day with that promise at hand, that he will take care, he will provide for me what is needed, that the enemy might be defeated and that his name might be honored and glorified, that I might truly be the witness that he's called me to be. And so the Bible is telling us here, David prevailed, but there was no sword in his hand, verse 50, in the hand of David. And now we get the details. How did this all transpire? So it's kind of like backing up here in verse 51. And notice this. Therefore, David ran because there was no sword in his hand and stood upon the Philistine. This is a big guy. This is a big guy. Where's David? Where's David standing? I'm telling you, listen, I think it was like this. Ready? Ready? David slays the Philistine. He walks over to him and he stands up on the Philistine, takes his sword. He's standing probably maybe up on his belly or his chest. Who knows? But he's on top of the Philistine. And by the way, listen, the Philistine is not dead yet. He's been knocked down. He's been knocked down and he's not going anywhere. And he's not resisting. He can't. He's helpless now. The God he defied, the God he rose up and stood against, the servant of the Lord that he said he would make animal food out of. It doesn't matter what the world proclaims, God's will be done. And now here's a crazier thing, ready? Do you believe that tonight? God's will be done. Do you believe that tonight? God wills his will to be accomplished through your life and mine. There's only one person that can keep the will of God from taking place in your life. Only one. And that is our unbelief. And so David gets up on this Philistine, verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. Why did he take his sword? Because God was guiding him on this. He says, you're going to take his head off today. And maybe he already knew it was going to be with his sword, but for sure if he didn't know it before, he knows it now. And he takes his sword and he drew it out of the sheath thereof. It was still in his sheath. He had no fear. This giant had no fear of God. Maybe that's why God allowed him to watch this take place. What do you think the giant's eyeballs are doing right now? If they were open, they're probably pretty wide at this point. I think he was thinking, boy, if I could just get up. And so he's not able to move. And so what happens, he says here, verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So when did the Philistine die? The Philistines just saw he's dead now. There may have been some gruntings. There may have been some breathing. Who knows? You know, maybe as he was breathing, David was going up and down on him. I don't know. But as soon as those Philistines saw, there's no hope for our champion now. His head's been removed. He's dead. They ran. May I tell you, sometimes we don't realize God's fulfilling his promise in the life of David. And what does that do? What does that do when we face our giants? And when we stand for the Lord by his grace and God brings the victory through us because of his mercy and his grace, faith is brought to the fearful. That's the second thought. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And notice, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines as they spoiled their tents. Before they were shaking in their sandals. I was going to say in their boots, but they probably were wearing sandals. And as soon as they saw, what did they see? You know what they saw? Listen, And they didn't see a little shepherd boy that killed a giant. They saw a God delivering them. They saw the God. They saw the deliverance and the promise of God being fulfilled, and that wiped away their fear. Now they were able to go forward into the battle. So faith is brought to the fearful when God fulfills his promise in your life and mine. Faith is encouraged. Faith is instilled in the life of other believers as well. And next we're going to see here that faith strengthened in the faithful. Look at verse 54. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but put his armor in his tent. He brings the head. He is strengthened. And as you consider this, the Bible tells us here that he put his armor in his tent. I think that was a reminder. That was a token of what God had done in his life. Every time he saw that armor, look at what God did for me. You know, God wants to give us good memories of his great faithfulness in our lives, that would encourage us to remain faithful and to draw even closer to the Lord. So even his faith was strengthened. David was the faithful one, was he not? He was the one that was asking, who is this Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? He was concerned about God. And so his faith was strengthened. God did it just as he told him. Remember, he told the giant, today. See, here's what we forget. Ready? Do you think, listen, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that what Moses told the people when they were backed up by the Red Sea? May I remind you, Moses was taken by it. Just Moses didn't go, when the seas opened up, I told you. Don't you know he's going, listen, I've never seen it either. I've never seen it either. In fact, if you remember, when Moses was trying to still all the people because they were backed up, he says, listen, the Lord is going to deliver us. And then the Lord says to Moses, and you don't hear Moses crying out. I think it was in his heart. He says, why are you crying out to me? He said, tell the people, you know, to get into position, to be where I need them to be. And then he opens it up. Listen, when all that took place, don't you know David was saying, what a faithful God. He had never killed a giant. He knew God was going to do it. But David had that kind of a faith to believe that God was going to perform it. But when he saw it, he said, oh, what a great God. Listen, who would have ever thought that God's plan, I'm talking that David was probably thinking and saying, who would have ever thought that he would have called me out of the, listen, do you think that day makes sense now? Do you think David thought, what timing? Look how God moved on my father to send me to check on my brothers, because God knew that nobody would stand against, that God had called me to stand out against this giant. Nobody, look at the timing. I thought I was just going there to make provision for my brothers and for the captain and to pay their dues or their taxes. And all of a sudden, I get there and I see this. Now, Lord, I see the whole picture. Now I understand. Listen, those are the types of understandings that God wants you and I to have as we go forward. Listen, how will you start? How will you finish your day tonight? And how will you start your day tomorrow? Will you consider that God wants to work through your life and mine to influence people for the cause of Christ by the grace of God in your life and mine? Amen. Will we walk in faith, believing that God is able, that Christ in me is the hope of glory? The glory of God because of my salvation, that God will be faithful to give me patience, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, and all of the fruits of the Spirit, even in the midst of facing a giant. That's how God wants us to walk. When we face, now listen, I'm not saying we haven't had failures, and God knows that our failures. We even sung about that, didn't we? And that God is always willing to use us as we turn back and we say, okay, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to trust you and experience the salvation that you've given me. I don't just want to have my name written down in glory, and I thank you for that. But Lord, may your glory shine through my life as you will it to be. And so David's faith is strengthened. He's looking at this. God has brought it to pass. And notice this, God's faithfulness in spite of man's unfaithfulness. Saul was not really being faithful to the Lord, was he? No. God had rejected him from being king because he was disobedient before to the Lord. He said, listen, all the Agagites, you're supposed to do away with them. And he spared the best of the sheep and spared Agag alive. And look at what's happening in the life of Saul here. Verse 55, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, he says this, Abner, whose son is this youth? Isn't this amazing? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. Look, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, is the Philistine still? Listen, when Saul saw David going against the Philistine, that means the Philistine's still alive, isn't he? So all of a sudden, now, did I remind you back here in chapter 16, in verse 21, that David became Saul's armor bearer? He was right underneath his nose. He was working for King Saul. And then he got sent back to take care of the sheep of his father, Jesse, right? You remember that? So now David goes up to Saul, says, I'll take care of the Philistine. Remember, they had this discussion about the armament. Now Saul is watching David going forth to go fight this Philistine. Isn't that where we're at right here? And when he saw him going, he was asking Abner, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Do you know? Abner said, I don't know. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever stopped to think about that? You know why? Listen. Because those who choose to walk carnally are not spiritual discerning. They have no spiritual discernment. Even a child of God cannot see how he works in the life of his children when we're seeking the things that are of this world and not seeking him. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. And so as we consider this, I want you to see here in verse 55, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Saul is so far removed from the will of God, but yet the child of God is still impressing the people of God that are out of fellowship with him and still are amazed. Listen, we truly, not even realizing it, are the light of the world when we're walking in the grace of God. And so Saul is saying, whose son is this youth? And Abner, verse 55, says, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. Find out. I want you to find out. Well, you remember what he said? Now listen, this is before David is going to fight the Philistine. Isn't that what we just read there? Remember the promise Saul said? That he would be given, his father's house would be made free, no taxes. Maybe, I don't know, this is conjecture on my part. He's seeing, hey listen, he may not get my firstborn daughter because he's probably not going to live. But I'm going to make his father's house free in Israel because he at least tried, right? Or was going to make an attempt. And for sure, after he had the victory, he should have fulfilled his promise. And so Saul, listen what God does. As carnal as mankind could be, God is faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. God is faithful in spite of mankind's unfaithfulness. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. Isn't that good? God's promise and promises are not dependent upon us. In other words, you can at any time say, okay, Lord, as a child of God, this is what you promised. I want that in my life. I am willing to present myself to you as a living sacrifice for you to perform your will in my life. Watch out what God is going to do. Because we've just invited God unconditionally to fulfill his will in our life. And it is the will of God to glorify himself in your life and mine as believers. All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm wanting you to have your will and your way in my life. And listen, God wants to send the light. God wants to do. The world looks at, you know, pursuing its purpose and justifying what it wants to do. That's the natural thing. But when a child of God, listen, we don't do God any favors to take vengeance upon ourselves. Doesn't he say, vengeance is mine, I will repay? It takes more faith to trust the Lord than for us to take things into our own hands and try to bring justification and give people what for. It takes the grace of God for us to turn the other cheek. Now, I'm not saying there aren't times that come into our lives or in the lives of a nation where we need to defend ourselves as a nation. But sometimes I think we overstep the bounds and not trust the Lord and allow him to work things out. God can work things out better than we ever could imagine. Sometimes we see people appearingly to get away with things that can get under, it can get under our skin. You ever had that happen? Asaph did. Remember 73rd Psalm? He said, oh, it was too painful for me when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So what he said, it was too painful. Look, they appear to have no bands in their death. I mean, they have more than the heart could wish. Isn't that what Asaph said? It grieved me. He couldn't understand it until he went into the sanctuary of God. And then he says, then, I believe it's in verse 17, understood I therein that their end comes like one that wakes up from a dream. It's all over. It's all over. The Bible says life is a vapor. Do you believe that? There's coming a day sooner than we know where we will all be in the presence of our God. Sooner than we know. And God will right every wrong at that time. God will right every wrong. Those who have denied and blasphemed the name of God will pay dearly. And we ought not to wish for that. Why? Because the grace of God intervened on our behalf. Do you know, listen, Hitler committed human atrocities that are unforgivable. Unforgivable. Personal to me and to my family. Unforgivable. And yet, I want you to know that I would not wish. The best thing would be for Hitler to, before he died, I don't think it happened, that he trusted the Lord as his Savior. Because why? Because God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Does that mean Hitler? Yeah, it does. It does. Now, I don't know that he did that. But listen, God will right every wrong. And I am thankful for the mercy of God. I am thankful for the mercy of God. Because I will stand before the Lord because of his grace and his mercy and the price he paid for my redemption. That's my only righteousness. I will get to stand before God because of his mercy and grace. And because of that, the vilest of sinners may God save. Because we're all unclean before the Lord without redemption. We're all unforgivable. There's nothing we can do to merit God's favor. And if God's not willing that any should perish, I think I'd be in the right place to say, I'm with you on that, Lord. Whatever God says, it would be a good idea for us to be on that side. So if God says, you ought to love your enemies, that's hard sometimes. In fact, it's an impossibility without God. We ought to love our enemies. And the only way to do that is by the grace of God. God, I can't do that. I'll be the first one. I can't do that, Lord. But I want you to do that in me. And so we find God's faithful in spite of man's unfaithfulness. Here's Saul. Wanting to find out, wanting to inquire, And that's just the only, that's conjecture on my part. The only reason why he wanted to find out whose son he was because he needed to make that house free. Now, Saul didn't know it at this point, but he was in the hand of God. And God was going to see to it, just like he put it on the heart of the Egyptians when the Israelites came and asked them for all these riches. They said, take it all, go, just get out of here, take it all. I look at it as back pay for those 430 years that they were in slavery. They gave more. Remember, then Moses took up an offering, right, for the things of God. And he told the people, stop! We have so much, we can't take any more. Man, talk about God moving on the heart. Listen, God provided the finances and put it on the heart of his people to give it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And so here is God moving on Saul's heart to perform that which he promised for the benefit of his servant. And he did not know. Listen, it hadn't even come to the place yet where David was going out against the Philistines and the song got sung. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And oh boy, did that get under his skin. Even an unfaithful servant is used for the glory of God and to be a blessing to his people. So we find God's faithfulness in spite of man's unfaithfulness. And lastly, God's honor to his servant. Look at verse 57. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. I mean, so here comes David. And there's like some kind of a little, I don't know what you call that kind of artwork. It's that was done, and it really shows a giant's head, like being quite big. But I mean, listen, here's the one that defied the armies of the living God, and he's no more. He's lifeless now. God did that. And here comes David, little David. Probably a lot of theologians guess him to be a teenager, 17, 18 years old. You know, I go to the doctor, and I see these doctors in their early 30s that have gone through all the education. They look like high schoolers to me. I mean, I'm thinking like, man, are you even old enough? in fact, I'm a little bit intimidated. I don't know that you know what you're doing. You know, can I get somebody a little older? And yet I'm reminded, when God's in control, everything's in control in spite of what you're looking at. And so here's this young stripling or stripling here. We'd call him a young whippersnapper, probably wet still behind the ears, who God just used. Isn't that amazing? And so David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Isn't that amazing? And I think at this moment, remember, Saul was fearful too. Maybe so fearful he thought this was the end. We're now going to become the servants of the Philistines. And I don't know if you remember how history goes, but when one kingdom takes over another kingdom, do you know what they do with the king and his whole home? They wipe it out. Maybe he thought this was the end. I think Saul at this point, believe it or not, was glad to say, your father's house is free. They owe nothing. In fact, we owe them. And so God honors his servant. Amen? I am convinced of this, and tell me if I'm wrong. Not one soul that belongs to the Lord, that gives their life to God, will ever, ever regret it. I believe they will experience the grace and the blessings of God here and now and to come for all eternity. I don't believe, I think just to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is going to be something to hear from the lips of our Savior to us. And here's the crazy thing. I mean, look at God. He's already promised us a mansion. No, nobody's going to have a shack in heaven. Our Father who owns and creates everything. And I don't understand it, but I don't think I'm going to want to be in that mansion much at all. We're not going to get tired. I think the thing to do in heaven is going to be in the very presence of God. And just His presence, listen, His presence alone right now would be so powerful, I think it would kill us. That's why we need a new body. To be in the presence. That's conjecture on my part. But I think the presence of God is going to overwhelm us more. And I'm not underestimating and trying to downplay our salvation, even when we were forgiven and saved by the grace of God. I think that was just a foretaste of the glory to come when we stand in His presence. What a day, as the song says, that will be. And God says, when you choose me to be your life, you will be able to go forth in confidence in my salvation and in my faithfulness. Because, listen, has God ever failed any one of His children? Listen, there is nothing that I have given up for the Lord that He hasn't more than made up for me. And there are things that are more to be had than the physical things of this world. There's a peace, there's a love of God that is worth more. There's the good health that God has given to us. And yet, that's not even going to come close to what He has in store for those that love Him. By faith, by trusting Him, I want to believe that. Amen? Amen? And God says, I want to show you that. When you approach me by faith, hang on. Because God is going to show us things that will build it for His honor and glory and for our blessing. Going forth against the Philistine or the enemies of God, God wants us to stand in His might for His honor and glory. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy and Your grace and Your great faithfulness. Lord, I pray that You would encourage us, draw us closer to You and to one another. May we see and understand to a greater degree what You have in store for those who trust You. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.